Apartments.com believes having a gym in your building does way more than just get you in shape. It turns your entire life around and is a great place to scope out the hot guy that lives in your building. And by guy, I mean guys. Having a gym in your building makes it 10 times more likely that you actually end up, show up, and work out. I mean, it's 5 floors down or whatever it is. And you'll be saving money on a gym membership that you'll go to probably half as much. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live is easy. Apartments.com hosts more rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. Or a treadmill, for that matter. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit apartments.com, the place to find a place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sophia with an F. I am in Nashville, Tennessee, which is my new fucking home, and I'm super excited to get into this week's guest. But before I do, I need to let y'all know, y'all.
Wow.
I've been in Tennessee.
You've been here for 6 hours.
I need to let y'all know that my guest is Jay Cutler. You played for the Bears. You played for Broncos. Can you tell I don't really follow sports?
You're hiding it well.
Does that annoy you?
Not at all.
But he's also very rich, very attractive. So you guys... You guys absolutely want to see him, like, visual, okay? Jay, I'm super excited for you to be on. I was just on his podcast, Uncut, which is incredible. We got wild on there. I have so many questions for you.
Oh, boy.
Do you always just get asked sports questions for the most part?
No.
No. No one talks to you about your career.
No. Not anymore.
Okay, well,
like you're old news in a hurry.
You are.
I mean, once you get out, yeah, you're done.
Really? No, I feel like you're a legend.
No. I mean, there's nothing much to talk about. Like, what are you gonna say? Like, I remember this game, or like it is. Like, there's always new games happening. There's new players.
Right. So.
Even my kids don't even care about me anymore.
They don't. Do you have them playing football?
No, not at the moment. Oldest Camden wants to. He basically asks once a week. He played lacrosse this past year. I want him to continue to play lacrosse because I think it's a great sport. Mm-hmm. And hopefully to keep him out of football. But
yeah, we'll you want to keep him out of football?
I would like to. I mean, I think it's going to be impossible.
Because it's so dangerous or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, the chances of like, I mean, I think it's a great sport, team building. You learn a lot of morals and values and how to work with people. But I think you can learn that from other sports as well. So if he really is hardcore about it and wants to play, I'm not going to stop him. I just think at age, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
like, right.
they don't need to play right now.
See, I find that so refreshing because I only have one sports question for this entire fucking podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, did your parents have you playing football, like, in diapers type shit?
No, I started whenever I was in, I think I played flag in fourth and then tackle in fifth. But, I mean, I wanted to play. It wasn't like, I begged my parents.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't like the Tiger Woods' dad,
no.
Like,
I played,
you'll be doing
this
shit.
Yeah, I played basketball and baseball, too. And, like, I was on my parents. Like, if we were ever late, like, let's go, get me there.
Wow.
So, like, I was... And I mean, my boys are, I mean, they're kind of like that. But nowadays, especially around here, like people play sports like year round. They'll play like one sport. They'll play baseball year round or basketball year round or football year round, which I don't really believe in that.
I think that's really cool because I always find it a little bit, I'm not going to say creepy because I will never judge parenting, but you know, kids in the Olympics and you just know their parents had them fucking like ice skating when they were 1 year old and like there for 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
Your parents weren't like that.
No, not at all.
And you're not going to raise your kids like that.
No, if they want to play, they can play. But I mean,
yeah.
If they don't want to play, I say that, but if they sign up to play, like you're going to finish. But if you don't want to play, then you know, there's a million other things in the world you can do.
Right. That's so interesting. I thought you were going to say the complete opposite. I thought like all athletes, like professional athletes, raise their kids to be like, you'll be doing the same thing 10 hours a day.
Well, I mean, I think you got to look at the numbers. Like the percentage of making it to a professional level is, I mean, it's minuscule.
What are the numbers?
I mean, it's like 0.1 or 0.01. I mean, it's not high right. at all.
That's fucking crazy. So where are you from?
Indiana.
Indiana.
Southern Indiana.
Okay.
About 3 hours north of Nashville.
Okay. And you went to Vanderbilt.
Went to school here in town.
Okay.
Yeah.
Loved it. So you love Nashville.
Yeah, I've been here since on and off since 2000.
Were you Vanderbilt smart or were you like football Vanderbilt smart?
I mean, everyone on football. I mean, actually, that's not true. I mean, 98%, well, probably 95% of the football team was football Vanderbilt smart.
Okay, got yeah. it.
Vanderbilt. I mean, it still is. It's like one of the top. I mean, it's the Ivy League of the South, is what I think that was I say.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we're engineers, doctors, lawyers. Yeah. I mean, accountants.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saving the world.
So would your teachers just like, you failed a test and they're like, you know what? You're really good at football. You killed it this past game.
No, it was actually the opposite.
Really?
I feel like sometimes they were out to just get us.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we had a handful of teachers that were really cool, but you always had to do the work. Like, mm-hmm. there was no free ride okay. at all.
So, all right, Vanderbilt, then, when were you drafted to the NFL?
2006.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you got a really big contract.
Mm-hmm. Denver.
Did your family or your friends treat you differently?
No.
When they found out how much money you make?
No, I think I've been lucky. Like, I've always had a kind of a tight circle.
Yeah.
And it really hasn't changed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the friends I had at that time are kind of still in my group now. So
gotcha.
And there's people along the way, obviously, but, you know, my core group is still
yeah.
kind of is what it is.
But you started picking up the check and shit when you go out.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Yeah.
And that still happens today.
Yeah.
I need richer friends.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't make as much money as you.
I know you got screwed out of $60 million.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm the type that
I would be heated about that.
Oh, I mean to this day, but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Nothing.
No.
I just gotta make another $60 million deal and it will happen. I'm saying it right now. I'm manifesting it. I'm putting it on my vision board, like done deal.
I do believe that.
100%. So, okay. You were making a bunch of money. Your family and your friends weren't pieces of shit and treating you differently.
No.
Maybe a loan here and there, which I understand.
Yeah. I mean, helped out my parents. You know, bought some cars, did all the normal stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But nothing crazy.
Yeah. I've helped out my parents, too.
Yeah. Bought myself a house.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a few cars.
Bought yourself a house.
Yeah.
That's not helping out your parents. That's helping out yourself.
Yeah, I think I bought my parents a house.
Okay.
Or a car. I forget.
Okay. I'm not that level yet.
Yeah.
But I'll get there. Yeah. 100%.
You're heading that way.
So I need to ask you this shit. Mm-hmm. And I know, I mean, you retired when?
17? 18? 17 maybe?
Okay.
Maybe 18? I forget.
Okay. So a lot of women listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
And a lot of them want to bag an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do it? How could a girl bag you? And I mean, you are not playing anymore, but like you saw your friends and
sure.
shit.
Mm-hmm.
How can a girl get an athlete? Because I've never dated one. I don't want to date an athlete.
Why?
Because you guys scare me a little bit.
How so?
Just you guys have too much money, too much fame, too many girls after you. And I think that's just like a recipe for disaster. You know what I mean?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And that's why I would tell any girl, like, be really careful with that world.
Yeah. But girls don't give a fuck. They still want it. So how do they get it?
Do all the things that they basically want you to do. And be...
I feel that.
Yeah, and be cool and...
Be cool.
Yeah.
Be cool, be hot.
Yep.
Be willing to do whatever he wants.
Probably.
What are we in the 50s right now? It's
like... You're the one that said it. You said probably.
So when you were single... Would you fly girls out?
Yeah.
Here and there.
Here and there, yeah.
That's the thing, right? When you're an athlete, it's like, because you guys travel so much.
Yeah. But like, we're not like in football, like we were in and out. Like, so like baseball, hockey, some basketball, like they stay in a city for like 3-4 nights.
Okay.
So that's a whole different world. Where in football, we flew out Saturday afternoon, go to the hotel, meetings, play Sunday, and we're literally on the bus back at the airport, flying back Sunday night.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, like we're flying back.
Okay.
We never stay the night.
Really?
No.
That's fucking crazy. I had no idea.
No, if we played if you played a Monday night game on the road, you would get back Tuesday morning at, you know, 5 a.m.
So that's kind of the best sport if you want to date an athlete.
If I was going to, I'd date a football player. Sure.
Yeah.
I would not date hockey.
A baseball player?
Definitely not. I'm not.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
I had a friend that dated a baseball player and like always gone.
Well, there's 162 games or something like that. And there's a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
It's baseball.
There's a lot of downtime mean cheating.
I mean, we're pigeonholing athletes in a very bad light here.
No,
so.
You guys like run the world. So we need to do that. We need to like humble you guys.
Oh gosh. Well, I'm not an athlete anymore, so fire away. Like, knock yourself out.
Right.
I will say this, there are a lot of good guys out there.
Yeah.
I think you just have to be selective, like anything else. But I mean, like, we're taking a little pocket of people. Like, you can look at any group and say, hey, like, there's a bad
right.
bad girl or a bad guy in any situation. Yes. If you go in the podcast world, like, there's going to be a bad guy. There's going to be a girl that cheats. Like, it just is what it is.
Okay, but we're looking at stats and, like, the ratio between cheaters and non-cheaters. Athletes, rappers, you guys tend to, you know, fool around a little. Which I've cheated plenty of times in my life, by the way. But I'm a reformed cheater. I would never do it again.
Until next time.
No, I swear to God, I won't.
Would you just break up with them?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
Yes.
Break up. Like, break up.
Be done.
It's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's going to be a one-off thing and you sleep with someone one time and then you'll never cheat again and, like, you don't ever talk to that person again.
So as a reformed cheater.
It's not. It's a little bit different.
That's acceptable?
No. It's not acceptable, but, like, it's more understandable. You know?
Is it, though?
I don't know. I kind of think everyone deserves a one-time cheat in their relationship or marriage. Just a one-time.
I disagree.
You do?
100%. Yes. I mean, I think, okay, if you're dating, sure.
But once you're married,
it's a no-go.
That's true. And I haven't been married. And once I make that oath and, you know, then I will never do it.
Yeah.
Bible for sure. 100%.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Everyone, that was like a for real thing.
Yeah. We came to an agreement here.
Yes. Yes, we did. This is random.
So it's safe to say you're going to cheat again.
Not when I have a ring on it.
What about engaged? You're just engaged. You're engaged for a year.
That's a gray zone.
Yeah, I know.
But once it's marriage, it's done. Okay, and
so,
I
so engaged. So you're engaged. It's still on the table for you.
The one time cheat. It's called the one time cheat. There's no emotions. It's like you never hear from that person again.
Oh, fair enough.
But when you're married, absolutely not.
Got it.
Unless you're 10 years into it.
Oh gosh. I mean, you have so many outs here.
No. This is what I think.
Okay. 10 years in.
You guys are bored. We're bored. Let's like either do a threesome or like let's have an open relationship or, you know.
Well, it's a conversation with you and your husband.
Yeah.
Maybe he's down for it. Maybe he's not. What if he's not?
Then we'll have to figure something out, but I won't cheat. I will not cheat.
Okay.
Maybe divorce.
Divorce and then.
What the fuck am I saying? I've never been married.
Have you ever noticed how celebrities have brighter, wider looking eyes? Their makeup artists have a little secret in their kit. Lumify Redness Reliever Eye Drops. Lumify dramatically reduces redness in just 1 minute. It literally happens right before your eyes to help them look brighter, whiter, and more awake for up to 8 hours. No wonder it's so loved by influencers, celebrities, and makeup artists, and has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Lumify is also the number one eye doctor recommended redness reliever eye drop, and it's FDA approved. No bleach, no dyes. Plus, it's made by the eye care experts at Bausch & Lomb, so whether you're on set, on a date, or running on just a few hours of sleep, you can have eyes that look brighter and whiter with Lumify eye drops. When you try it, you'll see that it's what your eyes have been looking for. Check out LumifyEyes.com to learn more. How many times have you been married?
Once.
Yeah. One time.
Yeah.
So I am not that familiar with sports and football.
We've established that.
Which I've said 50 million times. I did watch you on Barry Cavallari.
Yep.
Cavallari?
Say it however you
want. Calamari.
It's not my problem.
Calamari. That's what it is. I mean, I only watched a few episodes.
Yeah.
What was that like having your family on reality TV and being on reality TV?
We didn't put the kids on. That was kind of a sticking point.
I remember that, actually.
Yeah, so we didn't do that. So I got back from Miami and the store was opening. We had moved to Nashville from Chicago kind of the 8 months before. So I got back and they were they were rolling. I'm trying to think of the timeline. I think we did like a sizzle, a few stuff before I left for Miami. And then I went to Miami and whenever I got back, cameras were up.
Okay.
You know, we're doing it.
So did you tell like your wife or whoever, like, I want to do this? Your ex, excuse me.
It wasn't, I mean, it was one of those things, like, she had kind of supported me through for the last however many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know, I wasn't jumping at it.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, I'll support you. I'll do this.
I kind
of supported her. I wouldn't say I was.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it.
You did it.
I went through the motions.
I saw you on it, so yeah. You absolutely did it.
Yeah.
And did you like hate when cameras were there?
Oh yeah. I mean, the first season was probably the roughest. It got easier as because we did three, and by the third one, I mean, I still wasn't thrilled with it. But I mean, we had lights up in the kitchen. I mean, for, you know, 3-4 months.
Shut up.
Just taped
for
up.
Filming. I would lose my shit. Yeah. I would lose my mind.
We tried to film when the kids were gone. And if I ever filmed with her, we were pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was a pro. I mean, she grew up in that world.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I would say it was soft scripted. They would come in and be like, hey, let's talk about this. You know, you guys put your own spin on it. And I mean, 30 minutes and I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah. You know what? I like you and respect you so much more after hearing that, because I remember watching, and again, I only watched like a few episodes, and you just kind of seemed like a dick, but you're not. And now understanding, like, I don't want to do reality television. I wouldn't want like cameras in my face 24/7 or whatever it was.
You'd be good at it.
Why is that?
Because
I'm just the most like over the top.
No, I don't think you're over the top. I mean, I think you would just, it would be, I mean, it'd be an interesting show.
I've had a lot of people approach me to do it,
yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like once you do reality television, you're fucked, kind of.
How?
Just like your entire life is exposed for the world.
Well, I mean, I think you're already kind of doing that with your podcast.
Yeah, but I can pick and choose.
Well, I mean, in reality, I mean, we picked and choose. Like there's 100% like certain things like not showing off the table.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is...
Yeah, construed.
Yeah, the producer comes in and says, hey, we're talking about X, Y, and Z.
Do they tell you, like, act angry, act sad?
No, they kind of just, they'll pitch the, you know, the plan to it. And then, you know, if you're supposed to be upset or if you're supposed to be mad, like, you just play that part.
Yeah,
Were you ever like, fuck no, I'm not about to have that conversation?
Yeah, never
stops. All the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're not. I already know. I was like, 90%.
I was like, I'm not doing this.
Do you think, and I'm sure Kristen was like probably way more comfortable airing out more shit, right? Because she's used to that life, which makes sense.
Yeah, loves it.
Do you think that, loves it. Do you think that being on that reality show like contributed to the divorce in any way?
No.
No?
No.
That had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know what she would say, but I mean, I think.
Well, I mean, she has said some stuff, right?
She says a lot of things.
She said a lot of things. She said, you know, the marriage was toxic. It was unhealthy.
Yeah.
There were a lot of red flags. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say to that? You're like, nothing. Say whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of been my whole thing through this whole thing. Like I've got three kids. So like at some mm-hmm. point they're going to read stuff. They're going to ask questions. So
yeah.
I've kind of steered clear of all of that. If she wants to say stuff, she can say stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down that road.
And I respect that.
About her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's still the mother of the kids. So
of course.
And we had three kids together. We were together for, I don't know how many years. So
you don't know, you know.
We're married for 7, I think. Okay. Together for 9, 10. And if that's the way she feels, I mean, it's changed over the course of 2.5 years.
Her feelings about the marriage,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Because it starts to get messy, like when it comes to like the finances.
But I also don't understand, like it's 2.5 years. Like, why are we having these conversations?
Right. What do you mean by that?
In public. Like, why are we doing this?
Well, that's what I found a little bit strange, is she like prefaced it by saying, he's the father of my kids. Like, my parents would never do that. I'm not going to talk about it. And then she was like, toxic, unhealthy as fuck, red flags everywhere.
It's comical. It doesn't make sense.
It was a little bit interesting.
Yes.
But to your point, 2.5 years, what do you mean? You're like, what changed in that span of time?
No, I don't care what changed.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened is what happened.
Why are you being public 2.5 years later?
Exactly.
Right.
And now we have to have this conversation now.
Yeah.
And it's like, come on, man.
Let's right.
We're done here.
You know, there's a new reality show coming out maybe, and that's why.
Possibly.
Didn't you like freeze her bank accounts or
that's
something?
That's completely untrue. That is so far from the truth. It's not even close.
Which, because I'm sure she has her own shit. It wasn't like you were like shelling out cash to her.
She had an American Express just like I did.
Right.
No, that didn't happen.
Doesn't it say that in the court documents?
I don't know. I've never read them. There was never a frozen account.
Okay. You never froze her cards. Why the fuck would you even want to?
I mean, I'm not even sure if I know how to. So, no. She had money.
Yeah.
I mean, she bought a house, so like she was fine.
Okay. But you didn't want to give her the $5 million house or some shit.
She got it.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Okay, are you looking for a new wife? Because we can't get divorced and I would like a $5 million house. And so what do you think?
Are you good with kids?
Amazing.
We can talk later.
What do you think was the reason for the divorce then?
I mean, that's a question for Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's changed over the years, so.
Oh yeah, she wanted to get divorced, right? You
sure.
wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you cheat?
Nope, never cheated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the divorce, you have no idea why it happened.
Oh, I mean, she I guess she fell out of love.
Out of love.
Or it was toxic. I mean, depends on the day, I guess.
Or there were a bunch of red flags. What are the red flags she's talking about?
I'm not for sure what she said.
Yeah.
And I don't care what she said, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like I said, it's 2.5 years. Like,
yeah.
We're done here. And I mean, I'm sure there'll be a rebuttal to this, so we'll mm-hmm. stay tuned for that one.
Now, this is something I'm excited for. This April, reality TV hits a new high on Hulu. From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel, the all-new Hulu original series, High Hopes, premieres on 4/20, just in time for your viewing pleasure and a very special holiday. Even for those who don't celebrate, like me, you can still keep your hopes high for the new Hulu original reality series. High Hopes follows two budding entrepreneur brothers and their hilarious, half-baked, literally, employees at one of the fastest growing cannabis dispensaries in Hollywood. This workplace comedy showcases the highs and even more highs of the competitive marijuana industry. Career aspirations, love, and a quest for fame are only a few of the things that this dope family of owners and bud tenders are highly seeking. Mark your calendar for 420 to get into the new reality series High Hopes, streaming only on Hulu. Now this is my kind of content right here. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, starring the absolute queen herself, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. But her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide, and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. Okay, Jay, so I want to move on to my listeners' questions, okay? And these are fucking incredible. So let's get started. SOS, save our sleuths. So this girl wrote in, hi, so I have been DMing this NFL player, and this is my first time dipping my slutty toes into the pro athlete pool. Please give me advice. He wants to fly me out, and I want to go and get pregnant. JK. So she was kidding about that part.
She's not kidding. That's not a joke.
Then she says, but I'm nervous as fuck because what should I do when I get there? Do I just get on the floor and start sucking wiener? I don't want to just let this dude fuck me because he throws a football for a living, but I don't know. I think I'm going to end up sleeping in his bed. I just need serious advice ASAP because I want to go and I'm down to fuck. But also, I want to make sure I make a good impression and not a slutty cleat chaser vibe.
I mean, I think she's past the point of that. She not? What's her question? I don't understand the question. Is there a question there? I think she's made up her mind what's happening here.
The question is, let me say this in layman's terms. This bitch likes this athlete.
Clearly.
And wants to impress him.
Okay.
And wants to make sure he sticks around.
Good luck.
But doesn't want to, exactly, because he's going to cheat on her. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's probably another one flying in next week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what can she do to not come off like a desperate cleat chaser? Like, should she suck his dick? Should she sleep with him? Should she not?
If she wants to come back, don't sleep with him.
But suck his dick? What is it with this fucking rule and athletes and cleat chasers? One of my best friends is a self-proclaimed cleat chaser.
She's proud of it?
I don't know if she's proud of it, but
I mean, she's self-proclaimed, so she's proud of it. Sure.
I mean, self-proclaimed, like, to me.
Gotcha.
In private. She will suck athletes' dicks, but will not fuck them, and she says they will just respect me way more, and then it leaves them wanting more. What is with that? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I've been out of that world for a minute.
You have friends in that world, so you can tell me.
I think if I was a girl,
I would suck his dick.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I would make him take me to dinner. Mm. I would mess around, but I mean, I wouldn't have sex with him, and okay. I wouldn't give him a blowjob.
Maybe like
the first time.
Maybe just like put your hands on his dick, let him finger you.
Sure. Yes.
So you kind of lose respect or lose interest in a girl if she fucks you.
But it's also like, how long have you guys been talking?
Right.
You know, if you guys are FaceTiming and been talking and, yeah. you know, for months, and this is the first opportunity, like you guys have been together, then, I mean, that's a different story.
Yeah.
If you slid into his DMs 2 weeks ago mm-hmm. and you talk every 3 days and he's like, hey, come on in.
That's true.
Then you're setting yourself up for failure.
That's a good point. I've never slid into a DM in my life.
I don't know if I believe that.
What? 1,000% never. I've never had to.
Well, yeah, people slide into your DMs. Mm-hmm. So you just respond to those.
No, not really.
Pick and choose.
Have I ever gone on a date with someone in a DM? No. It's always been like an organic thing. Or on a dating app once or twice. So, girl, I mean, I'm okay with sleeping with a guy on a first date.
Okay.
And a first hangout. I don't see anything wrong with it, to be honest.
Like, what if it's like the first time you've met him and talked to him? Like, it's like, hey.
Like, I was at a bar.
You're at a bar. Let's say you're at a bar. You met a guy. And it's like, hey, can I take you out tomorrow night? And you're like, yes. You hit it off. Are you sleeping with him that night?
I think. Now that I'm a little bit older, I think I would be a little bit careful about it. Are you laughing because I'm 30? Yes. You're like, shut the fuck up, bitch. You're not old.
I'm a little bit older.
For girls, once you hit 30, it's like, girl, you are in a different playing field sure. now.
So are we going back on the sleeping first yeah. date situation?
Yeah. I mean, unless it depends if I just wanted to fucking have fun, but if I actually kind of liked the dude, maybe I would hold off.
See?
Second date, free for all.
Yeah.
100%.
Fire away.
But I think the first one, maybe like, let's like, you know,
yeah.
let's make out first.
Sure.
You know, walk before the penis goes in.
Walk me home.
Walk me home first. Okay. Next question. Hi, Sophia. I'm currently 32 and single. I find it harder and harder to meet guys at this age and wondered if you had any pointers. Dating apps suck.
I tell you what, do you mostly just get relationship questions? Is that kind of the thing? Yeah,
sex, relationship, mental health.
Got it. There's some girls on dating apps in the office and like I'll look at them and try to help them. The guy population is brutal.
Scary.
It's terrifying. It is scarce.
So why? Where are all like the good guys?
I don't know. I mean, Nashville is flooded with beautiful girls.
Yes.
It is. I mean, it's insane.
Utah's like that too.
Yeah, but then you gotta be like, are you Mormon or not? Like right. you gotta weed through that.
But the Mormons are the hottest.
They
ones,
are.
Because all they're trying to do is attract a husband. So they're like, I need to be hot for a living. Not all of them, but.
Maybe I should go to Utah.
You absolutely should.
Back to her question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel for her. It's yeah. hard.
32.
I would hate to be a 30 something year old girl single trying to date.
So I should.
You're screwed.
So if a girl's 30, are you like, I need them in their 20s?
No.
Because you're what?
How old? 39.
You're 39? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you should have no issue with a girl in her 30s.
I never said I did.
But you're saying it's brutal for girls out here in their 30s to find a guy.
Yeah. Because I don't think there's a lot of good guys out
gotcha.
There. Gotcha. I think the population of 30-something-year-old girls
is
a lot bigger. Than the good guy population.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you go on the dating apps and it's like one guy after another, like without his shirt on
or
doing something stupid. And it's like, come on, dudes.
Model guys or guys like showing off their six pack and their profile picture, like you guys are done. Just stop it. My advice for this girl, she's 32. Go for a younger guy. That's what we're doing now.
Is that to play?
That's the trend.
And just and just mold them to kind of whatever you want.
Yeah.
If I was a girl, that's what I would do.
Yeah. I mean, they're not mature, but like
can you just whip them into shape?
Brainwash them.
Yeah.
1,000%. Gaslight them, brainwash them. You'll get exactly what you want.
It's genius.
Mm-hmm. Can you feel it, Sleuths? The days are getting warmer and spring has officially sprung, which means spring break is here. Which for the older folk, that basically means people are going outside, they're staying outside, and they are staying out way longer. But the thing is, who wants to deal with those post-party struggles? I know I don't. I mean, I quite literally and physically can't at this stage in my life. And that's where my spring break essential comes in, which is Taste Salud. Say goodbye to the Sunday scaries with Taste Salud's hydrating drink mixes. Listen, I started my spring break a little bit early last weekend when my best friend Allie came to town. And we had a night or two on the town, and how I felt, honestly, come Monday morning was better than any spring break party you can imagine. And that is a rare occurrence for me and has only started happening since I've started drinking Taste Salud religiously. Because unlike those big name brands we all know, Salud knocks it out of the park with their one-of-a-kind flavors. I'm drinking one right now. And no, it's not because I plan on drinking any kind of alcohol, but just because I'm trying to get hydrated and energized. I'm obviously drinking the horchata flavor, but you get to enjoy flavors like cucumber lime, hibiscus, and they even have mocktails now. Say hello to Paloma and strawberry margarita. Filled with electrolytes and vitamins that support hydration and boost immunity with less sugar. I'm talking only 1 gram of sugar per stick. This is exactly what you need to get your Sunday fun day going, regardless of what the rest of the day entails. And here's the best part. They're sharing the love with all of my listeners. Enjoy 10% off your first purchase with the code SOFIA10 at checkout. That's SOFIA and the number 10 at TasteSalud.com. Cheers to health this spring break season with Taste Salud.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, this is the last question. And Jay, you are going to be very helpful in answering this because I don't know too much about it. This is actually serious. So she says,
it feels serious.
I need help. I have been with my boyfriend for 6 years and I'm very happy with the status of our relationship. He has diabetes type 1, and when his sugar levels are high or low, it affects his performance in the bedroom.
Okay.
I'm an extremely sexual person, and the first few years of our relationship, our sex life was amazing. Now, not so much. We have sex maybe once a week, and I rarely finish.
Yeah.
When we are trying to have sex, he either can't get it up or doesn't last long enough for me to come, and it makes me feel unattractive. What can I do?
It's not a blood sugar problem.
It's not?
No.
What's the problem then?
He's either not into her or it's different.
Straight up?
Like an erectile dysfunction issue. Mm. It's. I mean, unless his numbers are just, I mean, if your blood sugar gets low, you know, you drink some orange juice
or something. I was about to say, can't you eat a Rice Krispie treat?
Yeah, like you're fine. Like,
okay.
And if it's high, like it's still gonna work.
Okay, so there's something else.
That's an excuse.
Okay.
Is my guess.
For him, on his end. He's blaming it on that.
He's blaming it on that. I mean, I'm not a doctor. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think I am, but I'm not.
But you have diabetes,
yes,
right?
Yes, for sure.
So you would fucking know.
I mean,
you're saying this is BS.
Everyone's different, but I mean, I'm calling BS on that.
Okay.
I'm saying that there's something else going on here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've never heard that. And
yeah.
I've had sex with my blood sugar's low. I've had it when it's high. I've had it when it's great. Like,
I'm sure you have.
It's never been
an issue.
Okay.
So she's wondering, like, what can I do? It makes me feel unattractive. I love him. I don't want to make him feel bad. He's lying to you, bitch. So you better bring it up. Maybe. We're not 100% sure.
I mean, I would have a conversation with him and I would be like, hey, what's your blood sugar at? If it's good, let's have sex right now.
Can't you fix your blood sugar?
For sure.
Okay, well then fucking have him fix it. Have him eat a Rice Krispie and then fuck you.
Yeah, and be like, hey, we're having sex right now. Your blood sugar's perfect.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, A, or B, still got a problem, now you know.
There's something else going on.
For sure.
Okay. That was fucking, I had no idea. And I think that was.
I mean, I don't think she's going to like that answer because.
No, but we need to tell her the truth.
For sure.
Well, I mean, it was either that or she's going to like be unsatisfied sexually for her whole relationship. So.
Which is not good for anybody.
No, not good for anyone at all. Okay, Jay, you are fucking hilarious. This is a very unlikely vibe that I thought we were gonna have, but I feel like we fucking hit it off. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem.
Your podcast, Uncut. Mm-hmm. You guys can find Jay Cutler there, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.